Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by David and Sangha in Hawaii. Welcome, David.
Aloha, Michael. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing really well.
Great. Is the weather there as beautiful as it is here?
I'm not sure how it is there, but I'm suspecting by the nature of your question that it's gorgeous there. And yes, it is absolutely lovely here.
Great. Great. David, I understand that Sherry was in Hawaii recently and that you and some other Sangha there really helped to participate in organizing that and preparing for that.
Yeah, that's right. A couple weeks ago, she was in town. And the local Sangha out here, of which I'm joined by two of the members, Jason and Mai, we all participated in kind of getting her out here and setting up the workshop. And it was a fun process. It was pretty exciting. Some of the nuts and bolts of it were one of the members who's not with us today, Julie, she, a while back, she emailed the monastery and asked if Sherry or she asked if Sherry would be available to come out here to do a workshop. And so that kind of got the ball rolling. And then we basically got in contact with the monastery and started to set things up, which entailed the first big piece of that, at least, was finding a venue. Once we knew Sherry was going to be able to make it out here, we found a venue, which turned out to be a really beautiful spot on a small school campus out here. But it was a beautiful, kind of a beautiful wooden hall that overlooked Honolulu and the ocean and stuff. So it was...
Oh, wow.
It was real pretty, and that was kind of one of the big pieces of setting up the whole workshop was finding the venue and making sure that was all squared away.
Right.
And just kind of remaining in contact with the monastery and making sure that we got everything squared away with signing folks up and getting the word out and stuff like that.
Great. Great. And what did you see on a kind of a process level about all that?
Well, what came up for me, I got to see kind of an interesting thing going through that in the sense of conditioned mind for me really wanted to jump right in and turn it into I've got to find the perfect venue and, you know, this all has to look a certain way. And, you know, so a lot of that was coming up for me. Kind of the standard. This has got to be perfect and
yes.
Perfect or nothing kind of deal.
Yes,
so,
exactly.
That was kind of big for me to see on a process level. I'd say that was probably the thing that stuck out most. And kind of getting over that really opened up a space to allow the workshop to flow from a much, or my process actually with helping to set up the workshop flow from a much, much more spacious and expansive place.
Are you saying that once you saw those standards and kind of were able to see them for what they are, that really allowed you to show up and be there for the workshop?
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. And then the other big piece of it for me, and this will kind of segue into maybe Jason or Mai jumping on here and sharing, but another big part of it for me was once I got through that barrier of kind of how it's conditions version, the standard it was setting on how it's supposed to look and all that, I was actually really much more able to ask for the Sangha to support me in ways that were really, really, really helpful and kind of made the whole process that much more fun and that much kind of more, just more accessible, the whole thing.
Oh, great. Great. So as you saw your process around that, for you, that enabled you to bring in the other Sangha and allow them to really support you and participate in that process.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll pass the phone on over so they can share kind of what process came up for them within it all.
Okay, great.
So here's Jason.
Okay.
Yeah, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing really good.
Great.
Tagging along onto what David said there a little bit, the process for me really, like I shared with him earlier before this call, I really didn't have a whole lot of the energy on the whole situation and everything. I was just really, really excited for Sherry to come and meet her in person. And I think that kind of I don't know if it distracted me from any from being aware of the process I was going through during the setup and whatnot. But I was there and just really didn't have any attachment or resistance or anything come up for me. It was a real pleasant experience, and it was good to be there to help David, do what we could and contribute what we could to make it all go seamlessly.
Right. Isn't it fun when there's just that excitement and energy and anticipation? And I know for me, it really enables me to show up and participate and kind of start off with a good attitude of mind to be present.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely. The my experience really high energy kind of feeling and anticipation in a good way. So when we began the workshop and everything, it was very alive to me, I guess. You know, very vivid. Every of my experience, the whole thing was just had some very amazing awareness breakthroughs over the course of the weekend.
Great. Great. That's always fun too, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah. Here, I'm going to pass this on to Mai now. Let her share.
Okay.
Hi.
Hi.
So I guess what was just came up for me right just this moment was that I found it was very easy and effortless because we had group and we already had this connection and this space of just non-judgmental and just everything was okay and accepted. And so it made the process very easy. I mean, I've done events in the past that was very stressful because first of all, I would be taking on so much everything myself. I mean, this was, like, my role was very simple. I just assisted what was needed and set up, and everybody had a role, and it was just very effortless and very compassionate is the word.
Uh-huh.
So it was amazing, and of course, you know, it was really nice to be with Sherry for two whole days. So
yeah.
I really enjoyed that, and I had major breakthroughs too, and what I really enjoyed was that it was, afterwards, we were just very centered, and you know, usually after an event like that, I'd just be really drained, and so this very gave me, I don't know, energizing.
Yeah.
It was very energizing and peaceful.
Great.
And
I love what you said about participating in the group and that lack of judgment or criticism. I mean, for me, it just makes it so much fun and so easy, you know, because you have that teamwork aspect and there's no kind of sense of competition or criticism. There's just a sense of, you know, we're all going toward this one thing and I have this role and you have this role, and it's really beautiful how it comes together.
Yeah, and it's just like you just can't mess up. You can't do anything wrong. And so that makes it really easy.
Yeah, makes it really relaxing, isn't it, when you get to that place of, you know, there are no mistakes, I can't mess up, there's a really kind and compassionate team here, and it's really supportive.
Yeah, to add on something real quick to what Mai was just saying about the teamwork and the compassion and stuff, I too have done events in the past, and it's not that any of those events before have been difficult, but it's been the energy and the atmosphere that have made them seem more difficult and more stressful. And this group we have here it's just, like she said, it's non-judgmental and it just meshes together so well. And it just makes, I think that's what alleviates all of that conditioned mind that makes you believe that what you're doing is difficult, makes you think that this process is hard, this that we're doing is hard, because it really isn't. We just tell ourselves that so much in certain situations, but being as we, you know, we've got this connection that we have with each other, it made the whole experience that just like weightless, like just so flowing.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, when we participate in that way, and as you're saying, and I know for myself, that a lot of that stress I can just bring internally, and there's nothing actually in the situation going on in the world that really requires me to be upset or stressful. It's just that when I'm listening to conditioning, that's where I go.
Mm-hmm.
Great. David, do you have any more comments you'd like to add?
Well, I think they're just wanted to kind of reiterate what Mai and Jason were saying, that as a Sangha, it just worked so well because we got to use it, got to use the whole experience as a practice opportunity for all of us. And there's even two other members who come regularly to group, Lou and Karen, who joined in as well. And, you know, it was just one of those experiences where we all pulled together and as Jason mentioned, kind of each took our own responsibility to kind of see our own processes, put them on the side, and then be available for whatever we needed to do to make the workshop go as smoothly as we could make it go.
Yes. Sounds like you had a workshop before the workshop.
Yes, we indeed had a workshop before. And, of course, it was an absolute delight to have Sherry up here, and we hope to have her back out as soon as we possibly can.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be difficult to lure her back there again.
Yeah.
David, Jason, Mai, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Well, thank you for having us.
Thank you, Michael.
Okay. Good night.
All right. Good night. Have a great
show.
Bye-bye.
Be well. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Aloha, Michael.
Aloha. I know you're not
yeah.
going to be heading back there anytime soon.
Oh, yeah. It would be a hardship, but I might be able to find the willingness because, you know, that's just the kind of person I am. It was so marvelous, and they did such an extraordinary job. It was everything they said. You know, the place was beautiful. They had it set up so beautifully. People felt welcomed and taken care of, and we just had a really good time. So it was all good. And as they said, it's Sangha. You know, it's establishing that privileged environment in which people can feel supported and safe and comfortable, and then we just get to get together and be the best that we can be and accomplish great things. So it was really, really good.
Great. Sounds really fabulous. Jerry, I have some announcements here.
All right.
If you live on the East Coast, actually, if you live on the West Coast, too, there's still time to register for the Yogaville workshop with you, Sherry, in Virginia this weekend.
True.
And watch for new updates on the work in Cantalomba. We'll be leaving on May 9th and returning on May 20th. And for those wanting to attend a workshop with you, Sherry, and also support the Africa Project, you can check out this workshop, which is June 18th and 19th. That's Friday evening and Saturday. What is True About You? And this is with you, Sherry, at Namaste Retreat Center, and that's in the heart of the San Lorenzo Valley in beautiful Felton, California.
Yes, very near Santa Cruz.
Yes. Hmm. And there's still time to order your Mother's Day cards from Keep It Simple or order a card for a mother in Cantalomba. And the team will be taking these cards with them when they fly over on Mother's Day on the 9th.
That's so nice.
Very fun.
Yeah, that's so great.
And I want to remind people that we have many friends joining us today and remind people if they could keep their conversation to one topic and brief, that would be much appreciated.
We hear from lots of people on lots of topics.
Yes.
Good.
Are you ready to go, Sherry?
I am.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael and Sherry. This is Sherry from San Francisco.
Well, good evening.
Good evening. Hello. Aloha.
Aloha. Of course, now in the mountains of North Carolina, I think I should switch to something like, how y'all doing? Hey, or something like that. What's going on?
Hi. Well, I have been feeling extraordinarily grateful that it seems like practice is definitely everywhere these days. And
yeah,
I just
seems to be the case.
It does, doesn't it? And I was noticing that, and just really spending some time thinking about this sense of expanded freedom that I've felt over the last, especially the last year or two. And, of course, I feel like that's directly related to how much I'm practicing.
Yes.
And I've also had some huge new piece of conditioning that has been after me through, like, the last 6 or 8 months. And it's claustrophobia.
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
It just all of a sudden developed?
Yes. Yes,
how
it
extraordinary.
Has. I know. And I'm glad I finally had the wherewithal to think, like, oh, wait a minute. You know, this is probably some form of conditioning.
Uh-huh.
But, wow, I could really use some guidance.
And so tell me a little bit about it. How does it show up? And
well, it started... There was a time around Christmas time, when there was a huge group of us traveling together, and we had a big van, and I was way in the back with my son. Like, it was like a 20-person van. But I was way in the back with my son, and suddenly I was looking around, and I was just panicked. I had no access to get out. I couldn't move. It was a tiny space. And they had to stop the van. I had to get out. I couldn't stand it.
Uh-huh.
And now,
so the hysteria just kind of rose up and...
Yeah, and I tried to breathe through it. I tried to just sort of, you know, calm myself down, but I couldn't do it.
Uh-huh.
And I was fine once I was sort of somewhere where I could easily get out if I, you know, not that
uh-huh.
I really need. And then I've noticed since then, it's recurred in similar situations, mostly like when I can't escape.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting, huh? When you can't escape.
What? And it's particularly interesting. Like, I was thinking about the strange juxtaposition of being, like, having this new expanded sense of freedom and this new sense of being trapped.
Yes. So if you are having an expanded sense of freedom, what might be feeling trapped?
Well, I'm certain that my conditioning is feeling the squeeze.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
So yeah.
Kind of feeling no way to escape from this.
Yes.
Pinned in.
I'm sorry, what was that last?
Pinned in. Hemmed in.
Yes, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. And so how are you approaching it?
Well, I realized up until now what I've been doing is trying to avoid situations where I might be.
That is kind of the first thing we try, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah. How long can I go without having actually to face this? Yeah.
That's exactly it. And then, yeah, of course, you know, thankfully then, you know, at some point I realized, like, wow, you know, I want to face this
mm-hmm.
through the practice, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so do you have any kind of little plan here to start with?
Well, this was my start. This was
All right. This is the start. Okay. Very, 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 very good. Okay. So shall I offer a little suggestion?
Yes, please.
Okay. So it seems to me that a good place to start would be exploring who it is, if you can, who it is, who feels this.
Uh-huh.
So maybe some non-dominant hand stuff to get a sense of whether it's conditioning, just taking this opportunity to express this feeling of being hemmed in and taking advantage of that as a good opportunity to get a lot of attention and turn you away from focusing on this freedom that you're enjoying.
Mm-hmm.
So to see if it's that, or to see if somebody is being frightened. Is there someone young who is being getting information that this is scary or dangerous in some way, and is afraid as a result of that? Trying maybe to get a sense, is this some karmic thing that has just surfaced really for the purpose of being healed and let go? So looking at it a little bit without jumping into the back of a crowded bus, just beginning to explore the relationships, kind of starting the conversation with what's going on here, you know, the not wanting to face it, where does that come from, what are we hoping here, what's the advantage to going forward, what might be a compassionate way to go forward, you know, what could I stand, how could I push this without putting somebody into a, you know, like if I got on the back of an elevator going up to a really top of a really tall building, would that bring up that feeling? If I thought about having a, is it an MRI? Is that that machine that inside? Yeah. You know, if you imagine that, does that produce it? Just beginning really to have a more expanded sense of exactly what's going on here. And within that process, to have as your intention any information that can come through to you as you explore this to come through. Any clarity or insights, anything anybody has to say, or just those flashes of, I see. To open yourself up to have those come through to you.
And I can already see as you're speaking how helpful, because I you know, there's already some young one who's like dying to talk.
Yes.
And
very
I
good.
You know, yeah, it's like I can already see, and I can already see this huge piece of karma passed down. My mother is terribly afraid. She can't be in any airplanes or buses or anything like that. So there's probably also that.
Aha. Uh-huh.
To look at.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. It feels like there's a good opening there, doesn't it?
Yeah, that was just really helpful. Just hearing, you know, what you had to say and allowing sort of everything to come up.
Yeah.
Is really
the
helpful.
Other piece of it, Sherry, is when you first presented it, you said I was in the back of this bus or van or however you talked about it, with my son. And now connecting it up with your mother and
yeah.
Just wondering if there's something there. You being small, you know, you being young, being in that situation, him being young in that situation, just if there's something there.
I bet there is. I bet there is.
Okay, good. Yeah.
That was
good.
Really helpful. Thank you. Just the
you
opening
are
I needed.
So welcome.
Gosh, show to you
care.
And Michael.
All right, and to you.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Sherry. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi. Hi, guys. Hi, Sherry. It's Jonathan from England.
Hey, Jonathan.
Hi.
I called you last week.
Yes, I know you did. I bet you have a report for me.
I do. I told you I didn't have a spiritual practice, so I've got one now.
Excellent.
I've been to the Buddhist Center, and I've been sitting on the floor meditating, so...
You're launched.
You were there at the birth, yeah.
All right.
So, I mean, it's just been an absolutely amazing week. It's like I'm blowing fuses here every day of all kinds of things in a really good way.
Good.
And,
what are you seeing?
Well, for example, like I was sitting down the other day and my mind was off everywhere, family, and it just said like, you know, and your mother never had any difficulty being an absolute bitch, did she? And I was like, I just stopped and I was like, what is that piece of self-hate blocking my view of, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I realized like, you know, with sexuality growing up and all, I grew up with an awful lot of academic pressure, and I hit something very difficult about 12, 13. And my mother just didn't notice.
Uh-huh.
And what I realized is, like, they gave, when I, from that point, I started taking care of myself as best I knew. And it was just this amazing clarity of, like, I've been taking care of myself for years, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she's been there, but she just didn't notice. Like, they get, like so many Western parents, they gave me shelter, food, medical care, education, protection. But everything else, which conditioning just minimizes, I saw how much conditioning just minimizes all the stuff that really takes care of you, you know, it's just only interesting. It's like, well, you're safe, you're fine, you're fed, you're fine.
Yes.
And
yes.
I'm like, no, I needed so much more.
Yes.
But all I'm trying to say, what I'm saying is that rather than living with a line like that from self-hate, oh, my mother's a bitch, I got so much from just pulling it down
mm-hmm.
and saying, let's really look at this.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up with something so positive. Like, I've actually been taking care of myself for years, since I was about 12.
Yeah, yeah. And as a grown man, isn't it easy to see your mother as a woman, probably a relatively young woman, you know, in when we look at it now, from an adult perspective, with probably fewer tools than you've had, trying to cope with being a parent when she probably never had any of the parenting that she needed. Can you get a sense of that?
Yeah, and
yeah. Go ahead.
She just wasn't ready for who I was.
Yes.
You know? And it's just,
yeah.
It just, you know, it really got me to lighten up, and it really made it easy to have compassion for her.
Yes, instead and appreciation of, for you.
Yeah, and instead of,
yes.
You know, I can't. She's doing it again. She's never going to stop. All the other stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's been a week that's been just full of things like that, like eye-opening awareness.
Yes. Because what you're doing is challenging those voices that have been able to just say anything they wanted to you, kind of like you know, pushing on a button. So in comes the line, and you go into whatever unconscious reaction. It's just, you know, just pulling strings. To, you know, you're its puppet. And now that line comes in, and your response to it is, wait a minute, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Let's examine that.
Exactly. And I... You know, it's, I'm just trying to think how to kind of thread the experience together. It's like one of the things that's really helped me is to recognize that this is an awareness practice and to separate it in my mind from religion, because I've been through the most awful experiences recently with Christianity and all kinds of, like, you know, when you get into a situation where somebody's conditioning is backed up by a religious organization.
Well, if I may.
And it just really helped me. Just let me finish what I'm saying. The point is, it just really helped me to say this is awareness practice. There's things that you're aware of and there's things that you're not aware of. And this process is helping you to become more aware. It's got nothing to do with a religion and a Bible.
Yeah.
And it's like there isn't this great big mystery at the middle, which is how religions are sold. And
well, if I may, I take a vow every day not to speak ill of this religion or any other. And so I think it's really important for us to sort out what is the spirituality or the basis of the religion, and what have conditioned human beings done to those teachings.
Yeah, I suppose I'm just trying to say, as I start this process, it's so helpful to me to think God and the devil and Jesus Christ and Muhammad are not involved. It's me trying to become more aware.
Yes.
It's just helping me
to shelve
that stuff for now and say, well, that actually, I've had 5 years of that. It hasn't helped me. The prayers weren't answered. But this is helping.
Well, now, Jonathan, maybe they were. Maybe that's how you got here.
You know exactly what I'm trying to say. I'm just trying. You know, when you get you're walking down a straight line, you just think, okay, this isn't complicated. Let's just go with this.
Yeah. It's just that I'm attempting to encourage you, not to go down the same path of making that something and creating a belief system about that. And because that conditioning process is always looking for something that it can use to get that same kind of, I'm making little quote marks in the sky, but that same kind of negativity going, you know, that this is wrong and that's bad and that's it. And really, you're right. This is awareness practice. And it actually doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. It doesn't matter what's happened in the past. None of that matters. It's just you turning your attention to conscious, compassionate awareness moment by moment by moment. And in that turning and in that conscious, compassionate awareness, embracing everything that's there into the compassion.
Yes.
Yeah, so it becomes so so gentle and so loving, and we never have to leave that for anything.
It's just been a great week, and but as you can probably imagine, like there's like a million new things in my awareness. I think you just kind of go.
It's just magical, isn't it?
It is, and the thing that I really like about it is that it couldn't be more contrasted with experience that, you know, I've had, you know, psychotherapy, antidepressants, psychiatry, the medical profession. It's not like I've been kind of a hopeless depressive. I've just kind of like, when I've been depressed and when I've been unable to follow the story of my life, I've gone out looking for help. You know, I didn't just sit there pathetically thinking, I'm just going to ignore this.
Right.
You know, I go to the doctors and I go to the therapists and I go to the religions.
Right.
And it's just so great to actually have something that this is working.
Yes, and all roads pointed you back to yourself, whether they thought that was what was happening or not. Do you know?
That's a brilliant observation, yeah.
You've been taking care of yourself for a very long time, and that is a beautiful example of taking care of yourself. It's like you've got this guy, and he's suffering, and you love him. And what you're saying is, I'll try anything. I'll do anything to help him.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes, I'll go there and get some of that, and we'll try it. And that attitude of mind has brought you to, I project, a place of a sense of knowing that, kind of like the Buddha, what the next step is just to sit still in that compassionate awareness and embrace him into it.
Well, it's going well, and I'm really enjoying the archive, and I'm glad I called.
Me too.
So.
Don't be a stranger.
No, I won't.
Okay. Thanks.
Have a great show, Sherry.
Thanks. Good night.
Okay. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jonathan. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, that was very inspiring to me.
I love that. You know, last week he didn't have a spiritual practice.
Yes. Yeah.
Now he does. It's like, what do you need to do? Go do it. You know, I mean, you talk about building a sense of trust with yourself to be there for yourself. Keep promises to yourself and not abandon yourself. That's glorious.
Terry, listening to it. It's great. Terry, we're going to listen to our sponsors and then we'll be right back.
All right.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Music by Trish Bruxford Colligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
What if you bathed in an ocean of roses? What if you swam in a river of joy?
Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Team Success calling from Maryland. Julianne, a.k.a. Julianne.
A.k.a. Team Success. All
right,
what's going on there?
Well, I had to do that because of the last call. I was calling with an update, obviously. And last week, you advised me to build a Team Success of subpersonalities as an alliance to help, approach this, my art content. And so what I did was I made a list of every subpersonality that I could possibly think of, and there were like 40. Maybe 60. I mean, there's so many, but there are infinite numbers, but I assigned them roles, all of them from the quote positive to the quote negative personalities, and but they all had roles in approaching art, and it was I get it now. I think I do. I get why you have us look at our subpersonalities, because it was really was just a joyous experience for all of these little aspects of myself to finally understand that I don't have to just choose one, and to understand that I really don't want to let just one monopolize, and that they can all have a place.
Yeah.
They fit well in
yes.
the picture.
Yes. You have somebody for everything.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it was really neat to see that.
Yeah.
So, it was just fun, you know, coming, you know, approaching art with that. I, you know, everybody has a role, and you know, there's a, yeah, like you said, someone for everything. And so I wanted to report that, and I'm going to continue to work with this, and just I remember it, keep looking at it.
Yeah, and I do sense some great something coming out of this.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah.
That this is a really, I don't know. There's just
a big, yeah.
Some way that this is going to be shared that's going to be really important and helpful for people.
Oh, thanks. It's true because it was always something that I used to say that I hated how I felt so fragmented. You know, I always used to say, how can I integrate all of these different parts? I couldn't, it just drove me crazy. I felt like it just drove me nuts. But anyway, this is just about acceptance and awareness, obviously, and that accepting everybody.
Yeah.
So,
yes. Yeah. So loneliness will never, ever be an issue for you.
Yeah.
And delight will never be missing.
Yeah.
Because that's a huge part of what they bring. And then all of the creativity and talent and intelligence, and it's just extraordinary. And to be able to tap that and to have an experience of how willing they are to be in relationship with you, and we could even say serve you.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
that they really want your attention and approval.
Yeah.
And of course, they want to get to be who they are and do what they do.
Yeah.
But they're not oppositional. They want to be on Team Success.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they did. I mean, it was... You know, they were coming out of the woodwork, and it was just an exciting time for all of these people who thought that they were always going to be manipulated and pushed down and misunderstood. So.
Yeah, and lucky to be, they would be lucky if they got to be bit players.
Yeah.
You know, the likelihood would be that their an entire lifetime would go by and they'd never be seen.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, it's
so great.
It is great. Thank you so much. I didn't really get it when you told me. I didn't really get it that well. And then I made myself, you know, ego was there at the time saying, oh, this is a waste of time, blah, blah, blah. And as soon as I started, it was just, as I said, the most joyful experience. And all of these parts of me felt great about it, too. So,
yeah. So you thank me, and that's very nice. And don't forget who did it.
Thank you. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, because I could have told you that, and you could have gotten off the phone, and that voice says, oh, that's stupid. That's a waste of time. And you go, yeah, well, and that would have been the end of it.
Right.
Yeah, but you didn't. You took the suggestion and ran with it. And everybody is joyful as a result. So.
Well, what I noticed, can I say something?
Please.
I wish that I could just be like, and I rode off into the sunset happily ever after. And
no.
But what I noticed, which I feel like I just feel like I should put this out there verbally, but someone's telling me to keep it in my head. I noticed that, you know, I mentioned last week that I have a process of starting. I haven't done this with everything, but many times I've started things and I've excelled at them. And one, you know, and like yoga would be an example. And then I stop. I quit, even though I was doing so well with it and getting so much out of it. But I noticed that this is something that went with my mom. The last caller really helped me. It was very helpful to listen to the previous callers. But she was, you know, it was a very difficult. It was an abusive relationship when I was growing up. I was hearing, you know, you ruin my life daily and insults daily. And one of the other things that I think was even harder than that, because I was like the model child. I was, you know, a straight A student, cute kid, lots of friends and responsible. And it was just, it didn't fit the bill to be being treated this way and getting the comments I was getting from her. But the other thing was that she would put me in on these, all of these different activities, and I was playing the flute and I was in gymnastics and dancing and all of these things. And I would get really good at them and I would love them. And then, like with gymnastics, for example, I was on a team and my coach really encouraged me and I was so excited. You know, you get a lot of confidence out of that kind of thing when you're a kid. Mm-hmm. And then my mom would make me quit. And well, I'd be like, and I would, what?
I just said, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I sense where this is going.
Yeah. So, and she did that with like the flute too. I was really good at that. And, you know, I was biking myself to the lessons. You know, I was always kind of raising myself like, too. And my dad is an excellent musician. We would play together, and that was so fun. And she wouldn't let us. Like, she would just make us quit. So it, with all of these different things, she wouldn't be supportive, and in fact was exactly the opposite. And so after a while, when I became an older teenager, I started just lying and doing the things that I wanted to do, even though they weren't even bad things. It was like being in a dance group or something.
Right.
And forging her signature to do it or whatever. But so art is something that as a kid, I knew I was always really great at it. And it was not something I did, though. I wasn't ever doing any. I was doing all these other things without her support. But it just wasn't what I was spending my time on. But it was what I was most proud of, ironically enough. And then when I was in college, I chose to major in art, and it was like the first time that I knew, I was like, this is definitely what I, it was just, knew what I was doing, it was the right choice. And she said, no, you know, you're not, we're paying for your school, and you're not doing that. And it broke my heart, and I realized, you know, now I've actually come to terms with my mom. We have a relationship. I'm grateful for a lot of things that she, you know, I understand she didn't have the capacity to be the way I needed her to be or whatever. And it's okay. And I'm grateful for the business experience I have. But there's this little girl that with regard to art, this abuse, you know, like I guess I just named her like the abused little girl. I guess I could think of something better. But
Or ask her. Ask her,
yeah,
what
I
she would
do
like
that.
You
okay.
to call her. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I'll do that. But with the art, she's kind of really tied into it, because it brings back this process that I don't want to repeat of quitting something. This is, I don't know, I just wanted to kind of put that out there. And
so that's really where the mentoring is going to happen.
Yeah.
Huh?
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, because there are going to be a lot of folks involved. So there's somebody's. Who want to do these things.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's whoever this is that you actually don't know, who is in relationship with that. This is something you love, you can't have it. This is
yeah.
something important to you, you have to quit it.
Right. And
yeah,
oh, and there was this message, you never have fun. Fun is like bad. Like, don't enjoy yourself. It's, if you aren't enjoying yourself, it's, you know, You're wasting your life.
Yeah.
That was the big message for me. So
Ooh.
Just ridiculous, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's job one for the team, right?
Have yeah.
fun.
Okay.
And, yeah. And begin to explore who all is involved in that process of if you're enjoying it and if you're good at it, you have to quit. Because there's going to be a lot of freedom, a lot of breakthroughs that are going to happen there.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we can guess who's behind it. You know,
yeah.
this is exactly the kind of thing conditioning self-hatred gets a hold of, but there's an agent. There's you know, there is at least one person who is being talked into that.
Mm-hmm.
into
okay,
Twitter.
Yeah.
Okay.
All
right.
All
well,
right. I
you're
will
keep
at
us
that.
Posted.
I will.
All right.
Okay. Thank you both, Michael
Thank
and Terry.
You.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Julianne. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to stop, drop, and breathe, and we'll be back.
Yay. All right.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop, drop, and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by VoiceBusters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.com. O-R-G.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
Sherry, we have more callers here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Michael, it's Sridevi from San Francisco.
Well, good evening.
Good evening.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, you?
I'm good. That last call was just so helpful. I think it's really going to speak to what I'm struggling with, which is I'm seeing a process that's happening around, and the process has been revealing itself a lot around a lot of highly charged content that I have that tends to be around relationships with men, I found. And I think what's happening is that conditioning really has me looking for acceptance with men that I'm involved with, and this particular man who I was involved with, and now we're trying to have a friendship. And it's really getting me into this place of, if this man accepts me, then I'm good enough. If he doesn't accept me, then I'm not good enough, or I have to reject him or make him wrong so I can be okay. And it's really putting me in a classic right-wrong thing. And I think what I'm actually seeing now is that what it's doing is it's putting so much energy on this person and how it only matters if this person accepts me, and not allowing me to actually put energy into accepting those parts of myself that are having a tough time right now, and really kind of focusing all of that. And the clear story is that it doesn't matter if I accept myself or if I love myself if this other person doesn't. And it's just, I'm so believing it, and I'm just stuck there, and it's been a real struggle to drop it.
So a couple of questions. What are the qualities and characteristics that he has that qualify him to be the supreme judge of your life?
Oh, I don't know. I think, you know, I guess what I would say is, you know, he has his own spiritual practice, and he's an older man, and he seems to have, you know, all of these great things to talk about and a philosophy. So if he's so centered and, you know, wonderful and into it, if he doesn't, you know, accept me, that must mean there's something wrong with me.
Okay. Now, I hate to, you know, put logic in at this juncture,
mm-hmm.
but if he is that evolved and centered, how could he not accept you?
Yeah, that's true.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Now, that's number one. The question, of course, was to reveal what it did reveal, which is you are projecting that onto him.
Hmm.
Don't you reckon?
Projecting onto him that he's... Yeah.
He can only be as centered as you are.
Mm. Yeah.
Mhm. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So
no. Yeah.
Somebody with a great sense of humor.
Yeah.
Has your sense of humor.
Yeah.
Right. If not, they're not funny.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're creating him.
Mm-hmm.
You're projecting all of these qualities and characteristics onto him. So you create him and then pretend that he's real and has the power to give you back what basically you've given him.
Huh. Yeah, no, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Wow.
Big, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, it was so funny to see this happen. I saw it so clearly this weekend because I was in this really wonderful place. I was enjoying the sun. I was outside, and I just sent this person a message. I was just feeling all of this love and just sent them a message saying, hey, I just want to let you know I'm thinking about you and I love you. And they had this reaction to that message that just shot me straight into conditioning and the story again. And what was interesting that came out of that was I saw there was this really interesting message, which was this person said this comment to me, and now they've quote-unquote ruined my day. And in my Reflective Listening Buddies call yesterday, I was talking about what I was seeing, and I just had this realization. I'm like, wait a second. They didn't do anything. They were just being them. I was like, ego was the one who was in there ruining my day. And I remember I called in the radio show a couple years ago and you said something to me and I didn't understand it then, and it clicked so clearly with me last night, which is really seeing how my relationship isn't at all with this man. I mean, there is a relationship with him, but it's so with ego. It's just this relationship. I just so saw it last night and I was just like, oh my gosh, look at what it's doing. It just wants to continue to keep me involved with it, and it can't let me go for a second. And it knows how to get me, and I buy into it. And wow, yeah.
Yes. So you've got two really important components of this, right?
Yeah.
So you project your spirituality onto somebody else,
mm-hmm.
and then turn to ego for an assessment of yourself based on what you get back from the person that you've projected this onto.
Mm-hmm.
A truly disastrous combination of activities.
Yep. And I think that what is getting lost in that process is those parts of me. And I think, you know, I have to say this out loud, so I make this commitment out loud to do it, that I've wanted to start a new 30-day from the Making the Good, Making a Change for Good book. And I think what I would like to do over the next 30 days is really sit down, and the project that I'm going to take on is spending every day getting to know my parts of myself better.
Yes. Yes. And throw projection into the mix.
Okay.
So every time you project something onto somebody, yay or nay, you know, either this is the person is so wonderful, stop, as I ask you, and say to yourself, now, what exactly is it about that person that's so wonderful? And then follow those projections back.
Mm-hmm.
And the same with blah, 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 blah. Follow those back, and I think you'll follow those what we call negative ones back, probably to egocentric karmic conditioning.
Okay. Oh, that was very helpful. Thank you so much, Sherry.
You are most welcome.
Thank you,
See
Michael.
See you soon.
See you soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Sri Devi. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, this is Andrea.
Hi, Andrea.
Hi. I'm just surprised that I got through, so my mind just blanked out for a minute.
you were so not ready to be on there. It's like, huh.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, take a minute, breathe, adjust to the fact, because it is an unusual thing to have happen, right?
Yeah, it is.
All right.
Yeah, so actually what I was looking at is I've come back from the month-long retreat, and looking at kind of making a stronger commitment to practice
mm-hmm.
and mentoring myself.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm seeing is that kind of what's standing in the way of that.
Uh-huh.
And what it seems like is urgency.
Yes, that's a big one, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, urgency, something wrong, not enough, fear, loss, lack, deprivation, you know, I guess those are not enough. Yeah, yeah, all of those kinds of things. Self-hatred, all feeding that same illusion of a separate self.
Oh, God, yeah, that's true. And I notice how ego is trying to separate me. The retreat really showed me how ego tries to separate me from the practice, from people I love, and from life.
Yes. Yes, always.
Yeah.
Get you alone. Come away with me. We'll
yeah.
go away together alone, and I will torture you to death.
Yeah, and of course what it tells me is that if I'm alone and not around people, everything will be great. But
uh-huh.
I don't think yeah. I believe it.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you, yeah. Because if it were true, it would have worked by now, huh?
Yeah.
It would have been
so.
Great by now.
I think so. And what I'm seeing is that, like, even now, just the act of calling the radio show was like... I don't have the right to do this because I should be with my family. Like I'm, you know, like this urgency, like whatever I'm doing, it's the wrong thing. You know, I shouldn't be in my room, you know, listening to the show. I have to be doing something else, you know?
Yeah. And you're seeing that for what it is.
Oh, I really am. Just
yeah.
the act. I mean, I've probably hardly ever called in, and just doing this, I think, really made conditioning really just like really activated it.
Oh, yes. And, of course, the question that we can ask ourselves under these circumstances, let's see now, does my family want me identified and urgent and frantic and miserable or centered and loving and kind? Let me look at that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they start throwing you in the room with the phone and plugging you into the radio show or sending you off to the monastery and think, huh.
Yeah, well, it's
maybe,
so funny.
Maybe they're trying to help me.
Yeah, exactly, because actually I was encouraged by them to go to the monastery, and they were very supportive, and conditioning was saying, you know, oh, you're going to come home and they're going to be angry at you, and that was totally not the case at all.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and the only other thing I wanted to mention is just that in the retreat you were mentioning to mentor myself as much as I can. And what I found is that, again, an example I'll give you is I was in the kitchen in the midst of putting away things and trying to mentor myself right at that activity. And what seemed to be there, again, was urgency. And it wasn't, I don't think it was that the mentor wasn't there. But I think what happened is that there was no one really to hear the mentor.
Mm. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Instead, what arose was I don't have time, and I have to make sure this pot goes in this particular
yeah.
area.
Yeah. So the person who was there, we could maybe guess was identified with ego. And wasn't interested in mentoring.
Yeah, I call it the taskmaster subpersonality.
Yeah, might not be a subpersonality.
Mm.
Because subpersonalities, you know, they actually want out of their suffering.
Mm.
And this sounds like somebody who is pretty devoted to avoiding any help in getting out of the suffering.
Wow, well, that's really interesting because these two people, the taskmaster and the rebel, I both considered subpersonalities, and now I'm wondering if they really are or not.
Yeah. So it's, again, it's really hard to tell, but that do they want to be embraced into compassion?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do they want to drop whatever they've got going on in order to be in relationship with mentoring?
If the answer is yes, then you can pretty much guess their subpersonalities and they're on the team. If the answer is no, then we guess they're on the other side.
Oh, well, that's really interesting.
Other team.
Yeah, that's really interesting because I feel like the Taskmasters, who I'm really identified with lately, and what I find is that I've been doing a 30-day retreat as well, and I'm finding a lot of my motivation comes from this fear that I have to do it because the outcome will be worse if I don't do it, rather than finding willingness. You know, it's like I'll do all these things. Some of them even practice things. But it's more like the motivation comes from the fear of not doing them rather than compassion or willingness.
I think you're answering your own question here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of slid in. And it's now operating under the guise of practice. This is, calling it practice. And you need to do, now it's got its set of, you know, now you need to do this because this, and this is what's going to happen with this, rather than actually the only thing that really matters is unconditional love. And so if I get something done, with unconditional love, then yay. That's a double win. If I get something done and there isn't unconditional love, doesn't matter what I did or how well or what anybody says about it. It's actually a loss.
I guess what I'm kind of wondering now is if I want to do something like a meditation for a half hour and I'm doing it from the motivation of I better do it or I'll feel really bad, versus
wanting here's the trick.
Yeah.
Find the part of you who wants to do it and support her. She's there. She's in there. She's just not as loud and pushy as these other folks.
Well, I'll look into that more. I'll look into, maybe this Taskmaster is just covering them up.
Yeah.
Once you want to.
Yeah, because if your spiritual practice can be written off as a should,
uh-huh,
it's easy to let it go. So the people who want to wake up, who want to pay attention, who want to practice, again, they tend to be kind of quiet types.
Right.
They're not demanding, and egocentric karmic conditioning is a loudmouth.
Right.
So we're going to have to kind of get them to the side.
Mm-hmm.
And talk to those quieter types. Now, I can promise you, you're going to find quite a little team in there of folks who absolutely want loving kindness and compassion and calm and peace and to have fun and enjoy life and be present.
Wow. Maybe stop, drop, and breathe first, and then after I've done that, kind of ask, is there anybody here?
Right. Yes. Yes. Exactly. And be ready to be patient, because the first group that's going to come in screaming is the nope, nobody here,
mm-hmm,
nobody here who wants to do that. But you better do it. And so you have to be quiet and still and patient with them as they make their way to the front.
Really interesting. I'll have to, I'll try that.
Good. And I don't know if you read the blog, my practice blog, but there's something in there about staying with it.
Oh.
And that's a really important aspect. You know, they're gonna say, oh, that didn't work, after about 5 minutes. But we're talking about a much longer commitment than that.
Is it a recent blog? Did you just write it?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's like the one before last or something.
Oh, okay. I'll look at it. Yeah, I really have been enjoying the blog. It's been great. So.
Good. Yeah, it's actually a response to Max about finding the bliss points in the body. So.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Okay, great. Thanks, Sherry.
Let me know.
Okay, I will.
All right. Thanks for getting through.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Andrea.
You've been listening to another great edition of Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry,
thank you, Michael.
Yes.
Huh?
6 o'clock already.
It's not here. It's 9.
Well, that's right.
Yeah, and in Hawaii, I think it's 3.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just
beautiful
amazing.
Green.
And for Jonathan, I think it must be like 3 a.m.
Yes.
What a life, huh?
Sherry, it's been a great pleasure as usual.
Thank you, Michael.
Yeah,
good to be with you.
Yes, and good to be with everyone on the show, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Next week?
Next week, same time, same place.
All right. See you there.
Okay, see you there.
Good night.
Good night.